In Dick of the Week, we talk about dirty stuff and use dirty language. We're rated M for mature. Listener discretion is advised.
Dick of the Week. Dick of the Week.
Dick of the Week. Dick. Dick. Dick.
Dick of the Week.
Dick. Dick. Dick.
Dick of the Week.
Dick. Dick.
Dick of the Week.
Dick. Dick.
Dick of the Week.
Give me that D.
Hello. And welcome to a very belated episode of Dick of the Week, the podcast where we talk about things we love and sometimes hate about romance novels. I am one of your hosts, Liz Zirkel.
And I'm your other host, Stephanie Cazales.
Woohoo! We accidentally took a very long break.
It happens to us a lot.
We don't normally go this long. This wasn't quite a planned situation.
Yeah, I think the longest we took wasn't actually a planned hiatus when I was pregnant with Sabrina.
Yeah, and then I at least like did some solo episodes or like tapped some guest or whatever, and I failed to function.
It's been a long couple months, so
yeah.
It's been a long August to now. I don't even know if August was the last time we did it, but August was like the last time we talked about doing it, and then we just abandoned that plan.
Yeah, I think the last episode we released was in July, and June or July.
And we recorded that in May.
Yeah.
So.
Oopsies, we fucked up in 2022.
It's fine. It is what it is, man.
Yeah.
We were busy writing books and things. That's what, honestly, you can't do all the things.
As much as I like to pretend I can.
Yeah, you can't.
I cannot.
No. And like, of the things, this is like a fun thing, but of the things, this is the thing that is easiest to scratch off the schedule so that we can get writing and editing and blah, blah, blah.
Marketing.
Yeah, well, I don't do that anymore, I've decided, so. I just don't have the energy for it. I did a big push a couple days ago for a couple
you
days.
You did! I noticed!
And then I got my numbers back up to, like, you know, 1,000 views or whatever on my TikToks. And then I didn't feel good for a couple days. So then I'm going to try again tomorrow to do, like, 5 or 6 videos. Because honestly, people are like, oh, you need to do this. Everyone that talks about the rules of TikTok, first of all, every single person that I see talk about what they do something different.
Yeah.
So, like, some of these people that have 30,000 followers post once a day, get 6,000 plus views on the video, and they're, you know, they sit pretty. There's people that have 10,000 followers, and then they post, like, 3 times a day, and they do not as well as those videos. Like, it just doesn't, I don't believe anyone that's telling you to do something that you have to do it this way, I don't believe them. Because, honestly, if you look at my weird, I hadn't posted in, like, a month or more. And then you look at my videos, like, a few of them did above 500, and then a few of them did it below 200, and then I've got 2 that are above 1,000. So it's like, there is no rhyme or reason to it.
No, and I'm pretty consistently posting at least one, if not more than one, every day, other than, like, sometimes Saturdays and Sundays. I don't really do much of anything, which maybe I'm fucking myself over that way, but, like, my views, have been, like, consistently, like, let me look. The last, like, day or so, I can't get over, like, 150 views. I don't know what the fuck is happening. The last time I had a view, I had one that was more than, like, 250. I had one a couple days ago that hit, like, 400. And yeah. I'm, like, pretty consistently just hitting that, like, mid-200 to mid-300 range. And I'm, like, I guess this is where I live.
Right.
Whatever.
And that's like, and that's exactly, I mean, so anyway, like, I see all this, there's like that, I joined that TikTok Facebook group because I wanted to see if it was like, there's gonna be like anything helpful. And what I found is no. What's helpful is just getting on TikTok and knowing which authors you should go check their page to see what trending sounds they're using and then try to just piggyback off their ideas. That's what I was doing and having pretty good success at, honestly, for a while with, like, the page flips. There's, like, 3 or 4 authors who I know are, like, basically only do page flips. I'd go see what sounds they were using and if any of them applied to me, and then I would use them.
Gotcha.
And then I did some lip syncs that did okay recently in the last week. But, like, everything that people tell you have to do, is just none of it has ever really worked for me. I don't know. You just feel like you have a good hook. That's marketing. And also, the other thing is, you just use the same material over and over again. Mm. I saw someone asking, like, what are some tips? I'm like, literally have like five or six like passages that you're cool with like using, or the scenarios with the hook, the middle, and then like the punchline, and like just use the same five over and over again with different sounds. Like that's legitimately it. Yeah. Like, know what your selling points of your book is, and you figure that out as you're marketing. But like, there was a bunch of people talking about like what you need to do, and I was just like, I don't think any of you have anything figured out.
Part of me is hoping this will be easier once I'm working on my like only my solo book and not also pimping out three other authors. Like, I think it's kind of, I don't know. I feel weird only talking about my story within the anthology, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, I guess I could go through and pick out passages from their novellas also and do that, but that just sounds like so much work.
I don't even do that with my own books. I'm not going to do that with somebody else's, even if I love them. It's like, honestly, like, I feel like I only recently have like a grasp on the first book of what I like to, because I, since it's a trilogy, I don't want to give too much away, so I can't use too much from the second and third book.
Mm.
So I've got like the same like five or six passages from the first book, a couple from the second that I've edited out the redacted stuff, and then from the third book, like vibes is kind of how I market. Or, like, that's the marketing plan. Because I haven't really marketed a whole lot before the third book came out and after. But the paperback's about to come out, so I need to, like, I'm going to use that as a push to do a new round of marketing.
Well, and also, hopefully, now that your trilogy is complete, that will be easier to, in a way, easier to market it. Because there are some people that like waiting. Especially since book two had such a big cliffhanger.
Yeah. Well, and we'll see. I mean, part of it right now, it's a bad time to sell books.
Yeah.
This is a down month for book sales, so I'm not super concerned about it, honestly. I mean, like, also, this year was never about making huge sales. For me, it was about making backlist. And the next 2 years are still backlist years. And, like, if something takes off, cool. But if it doesn't, that's also fine. I'm just going to keep trying to do the same thing I've been doing. And with book four, it's a new entry point. So I'm going to treat it like I treated the first book when I was marketing it. Hopefully more organized. And I have like a better idea of how to use like Canva and stuff now. And I'm trying to figure out CapCut, but it's kind of sometimes I don't really get what I'm doing. So
I've never used it. I have never downloaded it or played with it or anything.
Because they're becoming more popular, the CapCuts. So I figured I should download it and play with it for like, at least market research purposes. And it's not hard. I mean, I think I just haven't had the capacity. Like, I haven't had the brain capacity because I had my release on the 31st. And when I tell you that I was writing things until the minute it published and somehow got them onto the published version of it, I don't know how that happened, but I did. I was burnt out. So I took a little breaky from my, from everything for at least a month. So I released a book, didn't even send out a newsletter. I just didn't do anything. It is what it is.
But you released your third book. That's exciting.
So this year I've done three books published and two novellas.
What's I know Bloody Vow. What's the other novella?
The one that's my reader magnet. It's like 15,000 words also. It's the prologue. It's like the prologue to Sasha and the Butcher. It's
with the right. The from Luca's perspective, right?
Oh yeah. So I wrote that, and that's 11,000 or 12,000 words, and then my other novella is 15,000, and then the other three books are all at least 80,000 to 95,000 words. I didn't write Sasha and the Butcher this year. I just edited it and stuff. But the other two I wrote this year.
Yeah.
And the novellas I wrote this year. So
feel like that's a really solid, productive year, especially, I don't know if you are announcing.
I'm pregnant. Yeah. No, I put it on TikTok the other day. I was like, this is why I haven't been around. Because I'm just exhausted. I've got two kids. So it was either mental health or TikTok and Instagram. And I was like, nope.
I think that's a very solid
plan. I'm starting to come out of the nausea a little bit. Like, I'm still sick two or three times a week, or like, I don't know. Or like, so Cosmo had an anal gland rupture yesterday.
Ooh.
So he comes inside and there's like drops of blood behind him. I'm like, what the fuck? And like, so I'm looking at his butt and it looks like somebody bit his butt. And I was like, what's back? Is there something in my yard? So we call the vet. He goes, and Jordan texts me, he goes, his anal gland ruptured, which is like apparently really common for old dogs, especially beagles. He's a puggle, so beagles. And so he has to go in tomorrow to be put under so they can clean it up and like make sure it's not, there's no bad, like it's not, I don't know. And a younger dog, they'd tell us to get it removed. But he's 13, 14, so like they're like, eh. This might just happen sometimes. So now we have to put brand in his food, which is very funny. But his poor butt was bleeding. And like, so last night I'm sitting on the kitchen floor. And so Jordan's like trying to like, because I'm like holding back throw up. Like,
sure.
Because like blood doesn't bother me normally. But it was it bothers me when I'm pregnant. So I was like on the floor and he left with the dog and I cleaned up this one drop of blood and I had to go throw up. So like the sickness comes and goes at its own at weird times. And like today was not a bad day, but I got this part of pregnancy. You can have like sniffles, like constant sniffles. And I got constant sniffles right now. So it's like I sound sick and stuff and I'm not sick. I'm not sick at all. And I'm exhausted and I have insomnia. So it's actually a really great time for me to start writing again, honestly. Because the insomnia usually is when I get most of my work done. Like, honestly, like, seriously, Sasha and the Air, I wrote and edited I was up till 4:35 in the morning for at least a month and a half. And grabbing naps when I could during the day with the kids. But, like, yeah. So I don't know. But, yeah, when I tell you I was writing, I had not written an epilogue for the book. I don't know why. I just hadn't like thought of one. And then the day before it released, I was like, I have an idea. And I sat down and wrote the epilogue in like 2 hours. I edited it. I had Jordan edit it, ran it through all the programs, listened to it twice, and added it in all in the last, you know. And for some reason, Amazon, yeah, you can update this. And I think it's because it was released in Australia. And all the other websites you can upload almost like the final minute. Like they say to do it 72 hours before, but like honestly you can do it up into the minute most of the time.
Because I thought Amazon had the time they restriction do.
That's why I was so confused. I think it's because it had already released in Australia by the time I was done with the epilogue.
Gotcha.
So they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I mean, when the book hit my Kindle, it was right. So I was like, cool, cool, cool. But yeah. So now I got the paperback because, of course, I was dragging ass on getting the covers done. Which was all my fault. I didn't give Bonnie the blurb. I don't know what I was fucking doing. I didn't think about having a blurb until the week it was coming out. You know, usual, normal, professional problems.
I still haven't written my blurb yet because I keep putting it off.
I hate blurb writing. I just don't care enough. Also, I hate long blurbs. So my taste in blurb is part of the problem. Because like when I read the blurbs for books in my subgenre, they're so fucking long. And I'm just like, ugh. Just tell me, like, give me the juicy bits. Like, who am I working with here? I don't even need so much of the plot. I should know, like, who am I working with here? And maybe give me the one big thing, right? But like, I feel like sometimes like you'll see two paragraphs because it's dual POV and you're like, oh my God, I have to read two paragraphs to find out what this book is about. That's too much. So mine are way too short. I know they are, but I like them. I don't care at this point. I will probably figure it out better down the line. But like I said, this is a backlist year. We're not trying to like be perfect. And my blurbs let you know what's going to happen. So the simpler, the better for me. Honestly, the third blurb only took me 5 minutes to write. And the second one took me about 15 minutes. And so what happens is I write one, and then I write another one, and then I just keep writing it until it's more succinct.
Mm.
And then I let Jordan read them, and then he tells me, yeah, that's what happens in the book. And then that's it. So, like, I don't know. There's, like, a lot of this, like, I understand that I need to, like, start putting more of my personality in the blurbs. I get that. Or, like, more of the vibe of the book. But it's just, like, I don't know. I'm not gonna kill myself over it, you know?
Yeah, that's my problem. Like, I truly don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know how to write blurbs. Like, my brain hates them so much. And, like, I do read them, but I don't, like, always read people's blurbs.
Yeah.
And I agree that the super long ones just lose my attention.
I will not. I've honestly not read books because the blurb was too long. I was like, if this is how many words you need to tell me, about this book. It is too convoluted. I do not want to read this book. But to be fair, I also just don't really read blurbs a whole lot or take them into account when I'm picking books to read. I'm very much a, like, this vibe checks, or, like, I saw some marketing materials on this and it sounded good. Or I do a lot of referral reading. Like, someone says, I liked this book. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Because, like, that's more where I get my, like, reading from. Sometimes when I come across a book, if a blurb's too cumbersome, I won't do it. I'm like, I don't like when it's cumbersome, but also still doesn't tell you anything. It's just like, okay, then what is this?
Yeah.
Just tell me what is this?
I feel like specifically in certain indie, like more rom-coms or maybe like slightly angstier ones, like,
yeah,
it's like they're, especially when they're written in first person point of view and they're like, it's like they're trying so hard almost to be like edgy or something. I don't know. I can't explain what I mean very well here, but like there are certain ones that just like, well, I did blah, blah, blah. And it just doesn't feel like an actual character. Like it feels like this really bizarre, like caricature almost. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't.
Yep. No, that's it.
Because I feel like it's become more of a trend that if your book is in first person point of view, then people are writing blurbs in first person point of view. And I love reading in first person, but I don't think I like blurbs in first person.
I don't like blurbs in first person. I write in first person. I don't like blurbs in first person. It feels like someone telling me about the book. I don't know. I just feel weird about it. And like my blurb's in third person. And I'm like, that. I feel like, I don't know. I don't like blurbs in first person, which is like weird because I write in first person.
Right. That's same.
But I don't like the blurb in the first person. And I can't tell you why.
No. The vibe feel weird though. Like it feels
like the characters are doing a commercial for
me. Yeah.
And I'm like, I do like enjoy when there's like maybe like a sound bite of like a little bit of a passage before the blurb starts. And then the blurb's in third person. I like that. Because for me, like, it's the blurb is the author telling me about the book, not the characters telling me about the book.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem I have with it. I have no idea. Honestly, though, I don't read blurbs. So I guess I'm the worst person. I'm actually the worst market research person. No one listened to my advice. Because I do not listen. I don't read them. I can't honestly tell you the last blurb I've read that wasn't because someone was like, hey, can you check this blurb and make sure it's not awkward? Which then I say to them, I do not read blurbs. I can tell you if I don't think it's awkward, but that doesn't actually tell you anything about anything.
Yeah, I feel like as I'm prepping Hungry for Love to publish, I probably should read at least some in like my similar kind of category.
Yeah, that'd probably be good.
But I don't love
I write romantic suspense though, and they're always so overwrought with I don't know. It feels like those like old school like action. So in my brain, when I did my market research, it was like those old school action. Like he was from a rival family. Yes. She's a hot ass lady. Will they fuck? Like that's what it feels like to me. And so I'm just like, you know what?
Can you please make a TikTok where you just do that?
I really should. I should do one of those for each of my books. But like it's. That's what I feel like when I'm, like, reading the blurbs. So, like, when I was reading them, we're like, they'll, again, there's, like, nothingness to them. Because they're, like, there's twists and turns around every corner. And I'm like, no.
What does that even mean?
Like, also, like, I don't necessarily like twists and turns when they're not earned. But I don't know. It actually makes me really nervous when someone's, like, if I like when reviews say it, but I don't like when the blurb makes, like, I hate when blurbs are like, I can't tell you any more about this book. You just have to read it. It's like the vibe. I'm just like, again, this is why I don't read blurbs. So I don't want any of this to like color my opinion of like reading the book. I don't read blurbs. So actually I had a couple other people be like, hey, can you read my blurb? I'm like, go read my blurbs and then come back and see if you actually want me to read your blurbs. Because like my blurbs are literally, this is one character. This is the other character. Here is the conflict. Will it be solved? That's it. That's how I write blurbs. I don't think it's right, but it is what I do. And I've now done it 4 times. Same way every time. they're very basic.
Now I'm going to start paying attention to blurbs now, I guess.
You probably should.
Doesn't help, though, the majority of what I read is alien, which is not what I'm currently writing. So, like, that's not going to be useful. So I'll have to do actual research.
Yeah, it's not fun. I hate research. But if I could write my books, that would be great. Thank you. That's not a fun part. There's also, like, I don't know. It's just, this year has been so weird because, like, I don't know. It's also weird because, so, if you've been, like, we joined TikTok, like, you actually, like, joined and started, like, participating, like, back in October and November of last year. And it's funny because a lot of the book talkers that I follow now have books out. And it's fun to see them try to make the switch to, like, being an author on the site versus being, like, a reader. And that's really funny because I only have ever been on there as an author. I've never, like, been, like, I share books that I read or whatever on occasion. But, like, I pretty much just keep it to my books because, like, I just, to be quite fair, this year I've not had time to read. Like, I've got a stack of books right staring at me. Your book is included in it, as well as Alexis's. I started Alexis's book, and then I was like, and I have a beta for a friend in my on my Kindle. But, like, I have read, like, nothing. I can't tell my Kindle Unlimited, honestly. Yeah, that was, like, this past week. I was like, you know, I'm not reading. So I'm giving them $10 a month for why?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Because you can always rejoin if once you mentally or energy-wise or whatever can get back into reading.
I can't read right now. So I was reading the beta, and I'm really enjoying that because it sounds like the person. So that's really nice. But I can't read. And then, like, if I'm writing, it's either reading or writing. I can't do both. So, and the writing takes precedence because I also, when I'm in the mood to write, I write a book in 6 weeks. So
I want that.
It's really just a matter of having that outline, baby. You can't pants it. You can pants parts, but you can't pants it all. You have to have an outline. And you've seen how basic my outline is. I don't go in super detailed or anything. But I got that outline. I know that tonight I need to write one chapter. Here are the three events that have to happen. I sit down and I do it. And that, I mean, this last book got written in 5 weeks.
Wow.
Because I was on a time crunch because I got sick with the pregnancies. And I was like, I got to get this done. So, like, the last book was a labor of, like, serious, like, I think it's the first book I've written where I was, like, super, like, there are days I'm like, I still want to do this. And I was like, you have to anyway. And then I went and did it. So
that's fair. Know.
That's, I mean, I think it's not, there's actually no advice there. It is just literally do it. And that's the worst thing about it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the last book, I think, second book was written in, I think, 6 weeks, edited my parts in 2 or 3 weeks. Final polish took about a week and a half. And then this last book was, I wrote and edited my way through it as I did it. Would not recommend. Will not probably do again. Because Jesus Christ. Because I still had to go back a second time and do everything almost like a second time. So it felt like I was just repeating myself. But
I definitely need to find a way to be more streamlined with editing because I feel like that's like I just take so long and it's blah.
I made a checklist where it's like, so I made like a spreadsheet where it's like I listed all the chapters and then I listed like, okay, I did my punch ups, my like developmental edits, I guess is what people that do not do comedy call them. So I did my developmental edits. And then, okay, so now I've gone through and done, like, my 30-point checklist of, like, searching for duplicate words, searching for homonyms, looking for, like, did I use their correct punctuation around dialogue tags, all of that shit. It's like a check mark. And then I run it through Writing Aid, and then I write it through Grammarly, and then I listen to it, and then I do one more round of Grammarly just to make sure that when I made edits during the listening phase, I didn't just like screw the pooch because I've got two browsers open at the same time and I'm like typing and like listening at the same time. So, but yeah, like I did that. That helps me a lot. So I'm not veering into different parts of the editing process.
Yeah.
And focusing on just the one.
That makes sense.
But I do think I'm going to start incorporating developmental edits or at least the bigger chunk of my punch ups into the initial drafting. Because I don't do drafts. I do, like, a draft, and then I do all those things on top of that draft. So I guess technically they're drafts, but it does not feel like things monumentally change, because I do have the outline.
Gotcha.
It also saves me a lot of time because I don't have to restructure my book usually, for better or for worse. But like that's usually I start it where I want to start it. I've only ever, the thing is when I draft though, I do spend a lot of time drafting the first 10 chapters because sometimes I do scrap things. Initially what I thought was going to work doesn't work and it gets scrapped. So like the first chapter can go through 4 or 5 iterations before I land. Once I land, then usually things pretty much stay the way they're going to be.
That makes sense.
Like the third book, I think there's a Frankie chapter. It was going to go one direction and it was funny and it was great, but it didn't really serve the purpose I needed. So I ended up scrapping like 3,000 words and rewrote it and put them in a new place and ended up being better. Yeah. But that's because I've got the structure, though. That's why it makes it easier to do. I think that's what keeps me from veering too wildly off.
Yeah.
Base is my outline, and then there's now this checklist that I've created that's very cumbersome, and I hate going through it. It's, like, so monotonous. I fucking hate it.
I feel like my Christmas novella was pretty easy, and I think mostly that was because, like, it was a very contained timeline.
Uh-huh.
So, like, it was easy enough to be like, okay, like, this is obviously how it starts and this is how it ends. And I just have to, like, fill in the middle of the 3 days that they're together or whatever. I feel like when it's, like, the bigger, longer projects, that's where my brain starts being like, oh, what are we doing?
The timeline helps because, like, with writing the trilogy, I had to be really strict with my timeline of, like, when things happen or whatever. And even with, like, the next 2 books-ish. Yeah? No. The next book is definitely reliant on the Sasha timeline.
Mm.
And then the 2 books after that take place after the end of Sasha 3. So, they won't be as beholden to it. But, like, this book I'm, like, working on or starting to work on now, it basically happens at the same time as from book 2, the end of book 1 through book 3.
Gotcha.
Is book 4.
Yeah. That makes sense. So
that'll happen. And then after that book comes out, then I'm going to release Rosa's second novella.
Yes!
And probably put them together in a little package and then put like a page in between the 2 books that are like, go read these other books if you don't want to be really confused. Otherwise, turn the page for a spoiler. And then I'm going to put the spoiler on the next page of like information you need to know before you dive into the second novella. I mean, honestly, the beginning of the novella, I have that one. That one's pretty like, I think that one, I honestly think I could probably put it out before the 4th book. But I think, and for continuity's sake, I think I want to wait and put it out after Tootsie's book, because their book ends at their wedding. But again, the timeline, it does help. It really it keeps you locked in,
yeah,
in a way that you can't really veer off. And like, if you want to make changes, you kind of have to go back and like change everything. So it kind of keeps you. I feel like constraints are good. It's kind of good with improv. Like, you can literally do anything on stage, but like, it's nice to have the constraints of like the who, what, where, why.
Yeah,
because then you don't have to make a million choices. And with someone like me who has like, I have like executive dysfunction disorder or whatever, I can't do things. I just can't in a normal way. Like, I do them in a very like either extreme, there's no rhyme or reason. I can't regularly clean. There's not like I can't keep to a schedule. I just can't do any of that. But for me, if I put parameters on my writing, it helps me like navigate the turns and also just write faster because I know what I need to write. So there's never like a, oh, where are they going to be in this chapter? I already know. I already said.
So for Hungry for Love, since I knew it was an 8-week long show, like I didn't exactly have like an outline, but I had like, I knew certain like challenges that they needed to do. And I did have an Excel sheet of like who was getting kicked off when and like weird, like I actually calculated the points everyone was earning with each week. And like, it's like work that I was like, I did not think this through when I came up with a game show, reality show idea. So like, there are restrictions, but also 8 weeks is a long amount of time, but also like not that long. It's not like I can really jump time. Like, I think I maybe jumped 1 week where I just like made it known which couple had been kicked off last and didn't show it kind of thing. So I was like, I don't need to show every single like ceremony or whatever. Right. I don't remember what they called them, but like who got kicked off when and all that type of stuff. Because it's not, I mean, it is important, but it's not crucial to the actual relationship aspect of the book. So I was like, I can glaze over some of this stuff to keep their actual story moving forward. But
yeah,
that was a whole thing.
I'm a big scene breakdowner. That's like how all my outlines go.
Yeah, I might try something a bit more. I just feel like every time I sit down to make any, like, no matter how basic of an outline, my brain just like revolts.
Yeah, it can be hard. I think also, I mean, it helps me because I've got too many story ideas. So I'm like, I don't want to put too many things in one book. So I have to I have to definitely be like, don't, just because you read this thing and you like it, do not put it in this book just because. Like, the next book is a Mafia Motorcycle Club book, which is very funny to me. I think it's very funny that I'm doing both of them in the same book.
I'm excited.
Because his Mafia nickname and family nickname is Tootsie, like Tootsie Roll, because he was a short, fat kid that then grew into a fucking mountain of a man who's still thick and, like, doesn't have abs and, like, has fat. And
yeah,
he's my big boy. But his biker name is Torque. Because his name is Torquato. And because his mom was first generation Italian American. And so she loved the real old school names. And so all of her kids have real fucking Italian, like real Italian names.
Yeah.
But go by stupid nicknames. So like it's Tootsie, Taz, and Tizzy. And like Tizzy and Tootsie are twins, right? Am I right? I gotta look at my family tree. I got a family tree. She's a twin to one of the brothers. Maybe Taz. I can't remember. But his biker name is Torque. And so that's gonna be a joke in my book. I don't know. I'm really excited to write it. But because I have to fit the timeline of the other book and not drop anything, I've been like, that is looming over me. Like, once I start, I know that I'll probably bang this book out quick because it's been in my head since I was writing Sasha. But like, bringing myself to really truly start this book has been like very hard. And now I'm 45 days post writing the third one, and I need to get going.
Yeah,
so this book can come out on Valentine's Day. So I'd like a Valentine's Day release for it to do my 1 year and have released four books. And two novellas in the year is my goal.
Woo!
We'll see if it happens.
That'd be pretty impressive.
Jordan's got a whole week off in between Christmas and New Year, so I can average like 6,000 to 9,000 words if I'm like really in the zone. So it's not undoable. It's not insane for me to be like, I can write a book and edit it by February 14th. I'm not setting a pre-order, though. That's the lesson I learned about myself, is I can't set a pre-order until the book is finished. Otherwise, I push myself to an unhealthy pace because I procrastinate and then I push. So
yeah.
I'm going to set an internal, this is when the book is due, and hope and see if that works this time.
I'm hoping for end of February. And I think since all I'm doing is editing, I think that's totally doable.
Yeah. Sasha, all I did with Sasha 1 by February 14th was edit. So I had sent it out to betas in October. I didn't get anything notes back until December. And then I spent December and January editing. And I think I sent out ARCs the second or third week of January.
Okay.
So my ARC readers had the book for about 3 or 4 weeks before release. So maybe mid-January I sent it out. Which was too much time. Too much time. Don't do that. Do 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
2 weeks is actually what I would suggest. And also, Amazon changed the term of condition, saying like you can't demand a review.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that can't be. Which honestly, now that I've been in the game for 3 times, I am just gonna start sending out ARCs with no stipulations. Honestly, I'm gonna just send out reminders, hey, download this book. But I'm not gonna be like, because I don't know. The same people reviewed that we're gonna review, so
that makes sense.
I don't know. I'm not gonna like agonize over. Also, I was so late on book 3 that, like, I was sending out ARCs 3 days before release, so it's kind of like, that's on me. My bad. I just felt like, I just was so sick. I could not get my act together, so. But yeah, I wouldn't stress it. I feel like that's very doable.
I'm scared, but
I mean, you can always send an ARCS with like a not final copy sticker on it.
Yeah.
Very recommended. So that if there are any kind of like, say you have like a big grammar snafu somewhere, hopefully no one will put on the Goodreads bad grammar. Because I had my second book, there was a big grammar snafu. There's a couple weird things, I should say. Not a big, but like there's a couple weird things. And I did not say that this was not the final copy. And I also sent out the wrong copy. Second book was a mess. Second book release was a mess. Third book release was late, but not a mess. Yeah, that wasn't a mess. That release went fine. It was just fine. But the second book release was an absolute mess. I sent out an unedited version of it.
Yeah, or I remember
like a,
that.
Or like a 3/4 edited version. It just hadn't gone through the final, like, my finals that catch the normal embarrassing shit you don't want anyone to see. I don't know. But the third book was edited to Jesus, so I haven't gotten any notes yet on, like, oh, I found this glaring problem, so.
That's a plus.
It is. It makes me feel good about how much work we put into this damn thing. It's a lot of work went into that fucking book, so. But yeah, you should be good. I think you should be good. If you're diligently working through your edits now, you should be fine. For end of February. Because I think book buying season kicks up in like March or April. It's like when they say like that's really, winter's not it. Which is ironic because you'd think. But every professional I see is like from like end of October to like January, dead zone for buying books. So
interesting.
And I can't really speak to that because I haven't done any marketing, so I'm not really sure if it's just my lack of job doing my job or actual dead zone, but I've had less sales, so. My release went fine, but, like, I didn't do anything on the back end to keep it going, so. Oh, I don't know. And then also, there's been a lot of, because there are, like, we're going into a recession and everything, lots of people are talking about not buying books that aren't in KU, or not reading books that aren't in KU, so there's, like, that whole thing to consider. But then KU's cutting back on how much they're giving the authors, so it's
kind of, really?
Like, yeah. I think last quarter was up, and then someone was talking about that they think that the next quarter is going to go down.
Gotcha.
So it was, like, I think this last quarter was the highest it's been in a while. But it's like, it looks like they're putting more bonuses into Kindle Vella. And then also I was reading something about the bonuses they do for the KU people. And like there's no rhyme or reason to them either. And like they look like they're getting smaller. I don't know. Golden Angel has a really good series about all of this right now. So I don't know. I'm not going to make any moves until I finish this series. And then I'll decide if I'm going to keep it wide or whatever.
I'm like 98% sure that this book and the series around it will be Kindle Unlimited. I figure might as well try and see how it goes, especially because I feel like that kind of rom-com-y sort of book tends to do decently well in Kindle Unlimited. So, I mean, romance in general tends to do pretty well.
Yeah.
And it just seems like a lot of the people that I interact with a decent amount on TikTok are all Kindle Unlimited authors.
They're pretty much all. Everyone is. I don't really know that many wide authors, to be honest.
Yeah.
There aren't that many, so.
So I figure.
You're in very good company.
Yeah, and I figure, you know, I know jumping back and forth isn't the best thing in the universe, but I kind of feel like if I try this and it's a total flop, I tried something. Like, <Yeah. laughs> moving it to wide later, I don't think would be that big of a deal if I mean, for some reason I need to.
You'll be starting over, and you'd be starting over either way, so.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think it's only if you expect quick returns when you
go from KU to wide.
Because, like, that's the biggest thing I see in, like, the groups is, like, these authors, they go from KU to wide, and, like, I lost money. And it's like, yeah, of course you did.
Yeah.
It's a different reader. Like, you have to do a whole new marketing. It's a whole new thing. Like, I'm only thinking about going to KU because I'm just, like, tired, and I don't really want to figure out a lot of other things. I'm tired of going to, like, 5 sites.
I feel like that's a legit reason.
I'm tired. Like, I know that I could use Draft to Digital for all of the sites. I know that. But you lose money. So, like, it's worth it for me for that 10 cents.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm just like, ugh. No, thank you. So I don't know. Sometimes I think about it would be so easy if all I had to do was go into Amazon. But I have my books, and my books are in libraries now, and I don't know how that'll affect. Like the e-books are in libraries and on OverDrive, so I don't know how that will affect. Kayla's like, oh no, your books are wide, you know.
Yeah, because I don't know how that would work. I mean,
I don't know. You can't really take that shit down, so I don't really know. I might just leave it wide. I have no idea. I haven't really. I know that my new adult. I think my new adult's going to be in Kindle Unlimited.
I think that makes sense.
But that's like maybe next year. If I can get my act together. And but that book, that first book in that series, I wrote that in 3 weeks. So, okay, a new adult, like, rom-com-y shit comes to me very easily. Although, I guess I can't really call it a rom-com because there's, like, weird family drama and secret sons and things. So, I really... I was like, I'm going to write a basic romance. And then I'm like, no, I'm not. Family drama. She's a black sheep and so is he. There's parentification in this book. Anyway, it happens to the best of us. But yeah, hopefully I get this Moretti series done by summer, and then I can write the Fratic series. And then I'm going to go to an alternating pattern between my paranormal and my mafia.
Gotcha.
And MC books. So I want to get Celeste out, because I get regular messages about Celeste. So.
Yes! The universe needs to read Celeste.
Yeah, like probably once a month. And the changes I was making to it bring it more into like the Sasha-esque world of like, I don't know, it makes it a little more grown up. So when I initially wrote it, it was like kind of a joke.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the edits I had done back when I couldn't decide if I was going to start with Sasha or Celeste to release first are like, they make it more down to earth. So that's the vibe. So I think it'll only improve what people liked about it.
Good.
We'll see.
I'm excited because I loved it the first time around.
Yeah. So I'm excited to because that book's done and then the second book's halfway done. So
yeah.
Like, I honestly don't have much to do to get that trilogy done. I mean, I don't even know if it's going to be a trilogy. I think it's just going to be a weird series. Again, it's like book two doesn't really follow Sasha, but she's, or not Celeste, but she's in the background of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Celeste is the main of book three. And then book four, the idea was to do, book four and five is going to be like a duet between two side characters. Or, I don't know, I haven't decided. There's also a ghost book I want to write that's in the series. It doesn't really come in any particular place. It just kind of happens. It doesn't really have to be a part of it. So, I don't know. I don't know. That might be actually be book three. Is the ghost one? I have no idea. I don't know. It's going to be a very tangled web to try to figure out to tell people what order to read books in. But that's just going to have to be okay.
Yeah. I need to finalize what my timeline is in terms of like what I really want to try to do in 2023. Like what is like my stretch goal and what is like my like actually doable realistic goal?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I can be like, oh, well, I'm going to publish all these things. And then if I only manage like one of them, I'm going to feel real bad about myself, which is kind of how I'm sitting here now feeling. It's like, well, I'm finally a published author and that's real cool. But I feel like I'm not as excited about it as I thought I'd be because I thought I was going to have at least one other book out this year. And that didn't happen.
That's fair.
So.
I'm aiming for at least three of the mafias are going to be out next year. That's the very least. That's my bottom. And the one novella for Rosa. So stretch goal for me is there's actually two other mafia books before second gen happens that could happen. It just depends on if the muse happens quick enough for these books.
Mm.
For me. But yeah, I wanted to do Fratic next year, but it's looking like that's not going to happen. So Fratic might have to wait until the next year. Because the thing about it, so it follows the school year. So I want to release them per that. So like the first book is like freshman week at Truman is the inspiration. So I wanted to release it in August.
Yeah.
And then I want to release the next one in like October for homecoming. And then there's one for Ugliest Man on Campus, which actually like it, I think I want to release it in November, but it actually takes place mostly in second semester. And then there's the Christmas one I want to release, obviously, the beginning of December.
Right.
Because it's a Christmas break book. And then I have a spring break book that wouldn't have to come out until like March. So like there is like this, there's a break in the middle that could help me buffer.
Yeah.
And these books aren't 90,000 words. They're like 75 to 80. They're not as long. It just is a matter of like if I can bust them out like I busted out the first one. We'll see. We'll see. But I've got 7 in that series. And I want to put them all out in the same year. Or like the same 9 months. So I got to write them all though. They all have to be finished. So I think part of me is like, maybe what I'll do is I'll just like write one Moretti, write one Fradic for the next few months and see what I get done.
Yeah.
Because I think I could edit Moretti while I'm writing Fradic, and I think that would be okay.
That's one thing I need to figure out how to do is drafting and editing at the same time. Like, I feel like my brain doesn't like jumping back and forth.
Be so careful. Be so careful, because I was drafting Luca and writing Dante and wrote his fucking name in a sex scene with his mom.
Didn't my friend James notice that and tell you?
Someone had told me before him, but yes, he did notice that and tell me. That is when our friendship was solidified. I was like, thank you for the heads up. Yes, I put in for the change. I don't know if it's there yet. Obviously not.
Like, that is his father.
One of my mutuals on TikTok was like, she read it because she had never, she hadn't read anything of mine yet. And so she got it because it was free and short. And she goes, this is like one of the funniest things I've ever read. And I was like, this isn't even my funniest thing.
She thought Bloody Vows was hilarious.
That was funny. Because of like all of Rose's internal like.
Yeah, that's fair.
All of Rose's internal like stuff. And her telling him to shut up and stuff. She thought that was very funny. I'm like, if you think this is funny.
Jesse, wait till you meet Sasha.
And like, wait until you get to Celeste, because that shit is a laugh riot.
Yes, so, 100%.
I do enjoy being... I'm working still on my tag. I think I almost have my tag done. My new tag going into the new year. It's going to be a bit of humor. A bit of humor, a little death, a lot of spice. Or a whole lot of spice. Something that I'm still tooling around with it. But I think that's my... I think that's going to be what it is. Because I want people to understand, like... I'm not writing rom-coms, but I do have humor in my books.
Yeah.
The Little Death is like a double entendre for orgasms.
Sure.
And then spice, obviously. Oh, no, it's... Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. But also, I do kill people in my books, so... Not all of them, but a good majority of people will die in, so...
Oh, another failure of mine this year. Apparently, this is just...
You know what?
All the shit I did wrong this year. I really wanted to get my newsletter up. But when I was trying to get my P.O. box set up, I forgot my password for the post office and it would not let me reset it. And like,
oh, no.
So it like locked me out of it. And I even like reached out to them to be like, hey, this will not let me reset my password. I don't understand. And they're like, here's the instructions of how to reset your password. I'm like, yeah, thanks, assholes. I did that 20 times. It will not work. Like,
yeah.
So then I had already paid like the $100 or whatever for my P.O. box, but didn't like get to go in to like verify it because they were like, oh, you have to print out this form. In order to print out this form, you have to log into your account. And I was like, well, I can't do any of that. So I got my refund back from that. So early after the holidays, because I'm not going to fuck with the post office more than I need to during the holiday time. I will get my... newsletter set up, and I do have a freebie little novella for that. That's kind of an introduction to the universe I'm writing. So it's like I have that stuff ready to go, minus formatting. I need to format, and I also need to finalize what I want to use, like what I want to create my newsletter through, and then figure out, I guess, book funnel or whatever for in order people to get said freebie.
Yeah,
which I'm gonna probably annoy you about later to be like, tell me how to do this.
Girl, I'll tell you what I know, but who knows how much I know. You know what I mean?
Well, you've successfully been able to hand out ARCs and newsletter freebies, so you at least know how to do that.
BookFunnel does make it very easy.
That's good.
You just have to make sure you're not the dumb that puts the wrong thing up. because that's been my user error has been my number one issue with using any of this, really. Although they did have an issue with me when I was sitting out the third book. There was like a, I don't know what was going on. If I was not clicking something. There was a big fight between me and BookFunnel. And I might have had to email my ARC readers about it, but we had beef.
Yes, it wouldn't go out. I remember that.
Yeah, it wouldn't go out. And they kept saying it was done and it wasn't done. And I was like, what? Why? But for why? But then it went out, so that was nice. But that was a week-long fight. And I was like, I'm already behind.
Yeah.
I'm already behind on sending this damn thing out. I'm 2 weeks behind when I wanted to send them out. And can you just... So they ended up going out the Saturday, and the book came out on Sunday. It is what it is. I'm not there. That's fine.
I read it as quickly as I could so I could get my review out there.
And I mean, like, people loved the third book. The third book, I think, is more quintessential my writing than even the first two. I think I've consolidated it down to like how I like books. So I think like the third book is very indicative of like how the rest of my books in that kind of world is going to be.
Yeah.
But the first Sasha book's more parallel to how my Contemporary Romances will be, like the humor. And there's still humor and stuff in the third book. Absolutely. But like,
yes,
the fast paced action, twists and turns, that kind of thing. All the things I said earlier, I hate when people talk about in their books. That's like what the third book is. So.
But you just hate when they say that in their blurbs.
Yeah, I don't tell me that. I assume it's a romantic suspense. I assume. Make it suspenseful, baby. It's fine. I'm like having a hard time. It's also hard because I'm not reading right now. So there's a bunch of books that came out that are on my to read for marketing and like for comp purposes. And I just haven't gotten to them. And I'm just like, ugh. Kicking myself. I need to get to them. But I also, again, like I said, this is not, I am on a marathon. Being in, being wide, you're definitely marathoning it. Like, I feel like with KU, you can try to, like, do an upstart. Like, you could try for bigger successes first, I think. Like, there's a few people on mutuals with TikTok and stuff, and they have, like, three or four books out, and, like, their fourth book is the one that's hitting really hard. And, like, they're getting, like, almost, like, full-time money off of it and stuff. So, I'm like... That's why it's hard for me sometimes to not just go to KU. Because I know at the very least I get the page reads. Even if people hated it, I'd get the page reads.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I got two or three three-star reviews that are like, if this was in KU, I'd read the whole series, but I'm not going to buy the books. And then that's a totally fair, you know, it's three stars to them. It's a fine book. It's just not, you know, the best. And, like, totally fine. But, so, like, having those reviews sometimes sits in the back of my head like, ugh. If I was only in KU... I would make a dollar off of that person, which is so stupid. So stupid. And then Jordan has to be like, how much does it cost when someone, what's your royalty for someone buying your book? I'm like, I know. I understand how dumb I'm sounding right now. I get it. I know what I sound like, okay?
Well, that's one of the main reason why with the anthology, I was like, okay, I will go ahead and buy a bunch of author copies so people can buy direct from me because you make the profit is so much bigger.
Oh, yeah.
So it's much nice. Bigger.
It's nice.
Except now I'm dealing with the fact that Amazon doesn't want to give me books.
Yeah, that's the word. The author copy. So your proof will come in like a week and then your author copy takes like fucking 3 weeks to get. And you're like, the first time I bought author copies, they came in a week. They were perfect. I only had like one that I had to return. Since then, every single box of author copies I've gotten, half of them are unsellable.
Oh, God.
And I have to buy a second round and then also go to Whole Foods and drop these stupid fucking books off to get my refunds. Yeah, big headache. Big headache.
Are you able to order author copies before the book is, like, officially published?
No.
Okay. That's also the annoying thing is, like, if you want to have them available for, like, launch, you can't.
You cannot, unless you're through Ingram Sparks.
Gotcha.
Barnes & Noble. You can buy something at Barnes & Noble. But you buy personal copies, then. I don't think they're author copies. I don't know what they're called. I think Barnes & Noble lets you, but Ingram Spark will let you do it. They'll let you buy it before.
Gotcha.
I think. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty certain, because that's, like, one of the perks of using them. I still have not figured out Ingram Spark, because we had that fight about Sasha and the Butcher paperback, and I never went back. I need to sort that.
Like, it won't be as big of a deal with my next book, because, like, it doesn't matter if someone reads that at the end of February or in May or whatever, but, like,
right. The
fact that so many people are going to get my Christmas book in fucking January... Yeah, when I ordered these in November.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah, and then they change their, they'll change like the date they're gonna send them to you, and I'm just like, cool, thanks, friend. That's really fucking annoying to me when they change. They changed the delivery date.
Well, that was the thing. They told me they were going to arrive by the 13th of this month, as in, like, yesterday. So I was like, oh, that's totally fine. That's 12 days before Christmas. That's perfect. I can make that happen. Awesome. At least I had my first 10. But then I'm like, now I have to, like, figure out who gets from that first. Like,
yeah, you have to prioritize people.
Yeah, so, like, my aunts are getting it, and my friend who's coming in town from Germany, she gets her copy, like.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah, don't ship internationally. I shipped I shipped a book to Canada, because they were one of my ARC reader winners who, like, found the most errors or whatever in book two. And so I shipped two books, and that was expensive. It was, like, I think I, all in all, $50 to send her the...
Holy shit.
That includes, like, the cost of the books or whatever, but...
Yeah, but still.
It was annoying, but she did me a solid, so well-deserved.
Yeah.
It just sucks that Canada... And she was even, like, so sweet. She's like, you don't have to send it to me. I know how expensive it is. I'm like, no, I'm sending them to you. This is a point of pride at this point. I'm going to figure out international shipping.
God, I just need to figure out shipping in general now.
Oh, yeah. I just use PayPal and the extension in PayPal. It is pretty easy. Yeah.
Do you just print off labels at your home?
Yeah. I buy labels from, there's a specific, like, packing label. There's two to Piece of Page through that label company. I can't think of what the label company is called.
Avery?
Yeah. Avery has a specific one. I get those and I print them on the printer.
Gotcha.
I think as I get bigger, I'm going to get one of the postage printers with the weight. They're only like $45-$50. And Jordan was actually like, when the first book came out, he said, just like, just get it. He's like, you're going to drive yourself crazy printing them off on this printer, which is absolutely true. Every time I have to print on that printer, I lose my fucking mind. So he's right. I should have spent the $45, you know, a year ago, but I didn't. So here we are. And now I'm like sitting here like, we're about to, you know, taxes are about to happen and I have to pay taxes, which I've saved all the money that I've made. So it's like, not like I've not spent any of the, I think I've made almost like $3,000 on books this year. I haven't spent anything, but now I'm just like, oh, now I have to figure out taxes. They're going to be sending me forms. This is overwhelming.
Yeah, that I don't, oh my God. Like,
I'm not looking forward to it.
No.
It's going to suck. I hate taxes. I'm not going to do, I mean, like, I know that I can do write-offs or whatever, but, like, honestly, the bulk of what I bought was bought in the year before, because I did all the work in November and December. So, like, I can't even write it off.
Well, you have Canva Pro, right?
Yeah.
So, like, things like that, if you've been keeping your invoices.
I mean, yeah, you can pull. But, I mean, even that, like, so I don't think I've made enough to even necessitate write-offs.
Honestly. Yeah.
We're gonna see what's going on, and hopefully it'll just be a matter of, like, doing what I usually do. But yeah, that's my thing that I'm, like, dreading hard is doing taxes. Because I didn't expect to make any money. It's been a surprise to me. It came as a surprise. It came as a shock that I made more than $600 doing this year. So, like, I'm like, cool. So I'm gonna get all my deduction stuff together. And I guess we might have to file separately because I didn't set up an LLC. I just did a doing business ads because everything online is like, don't do an LLC until you make $10,000 a year.
Okay.
Because they're like, it's not really worth it. That's at least what I saw on all the websites. So we'll see if that's true. You know, I have a doing business ads. I have two doing business ads. One for my pen name, one for Kazao's Publishing. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure. I think I didn't know what the W-10s were going to come to. I don't know.
That's all stuff I need to figure out. Like the shit that the business side of it, I need to figure out all that and
not looking forward to it. I might even hit up my friend who's an accountant who does like business accounting and be like, how do I do this? Please help me. But that's my failure of I didn't look into it at all this year. I just kept like being like, oh, I'm not gonna make enough money. And then by the time I made enough money, come like I think I made enough money by fucking May, I was like, I'm not going to make so much more money that it matters. And then now I'm like, I don't know where the threshold is. So,
yeah.
But it's been nice to make some money off of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's pretty cool.
I hope to be able to be there someday.
Yeah. I mean, I hope to be able to continue to make some. Because, I mean, obviously the last few months have been like, I had like some of my highest months this summer. Like August was like a banger of a month. Like I think I made like $400 that month. But then I was pregnant in August and didn't do as much marketing. So September suffered. And then I had my release in October, so I had another kick up. But then, like, the last month was not great. So, I don't know. I got to get back on my bullshit.
Yeah, and my problem right now, like, I have to really hardcore focus on editing, as I said earlier. But I also have a lot of stuff I need to get done this month and next for season 2 of Space America. Because I've been, for those who listen and have listened to any other Calamity Cast shows, unfortunately, Daniel, who kind of spearheaded this whole thing, passed away in August. And he was my co-writer and co-creator of Space America, our sci-fi audio drama. And luckily, we had finished recording all of it, and he had started the editing process. So now we're working with finding other audio engineers to finish the episodes. But that costs money. So now we're working on putting together an Indiegogo, and it's just shit, a lot of shit I need to get done for all of that on top of. And that stuff makes me sad and emotional.
Yeah, that's all hard stuff. I mean, like, it's hard to do that kind of thing with your emotional. It's not.
Anyway, yeah, so I have to work on the Indiegogo stuff. And, like, Daniel's wife is working with us and is very adamant. Like, she really, like, for her, I think the emotional aspect of it is, like, she doesn't want his last project to go undone. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, I can't fail her.
right, yeah.
Like, since she is, like, really trying to get this done, I'm like, well, I have to keep my, since it's also my project, I will take on more than I probably can do, but that's fine. Anyway, so that's cool. I'm sure once I have more information on that, I'm sure I'll be sharing it on all the platforms, because yay, money.
That's a lot. That is a lot. And again, when we say there's reasons why we didn't do this for so many months.
That was a major one for me.
A lot's happened in the last few months.
Yeah, I had COVID at the same time that Daniel was passing away. So August was literally non-existent for me. I did nothing in August. And then had to, like, be like, oh, I need to figure out how to function as a human again. Awesome!
Yeah.
So.
COVID, like, does you in. Like, that's not. COVID's a mindfuck because it makes you tired.
Yeah.
And, like, just being tired and, like, not seemingly feeling that sick, but just being really tired. Because, like, most people I know, like, we're sick for, like, a week or so, but then we're just tired for, like, a month. Like, almost like mono. Like, we're just, like, tired for, like, seemingly no reason. And, like, I had mono last year in April. And, or no, 2 years ago in April. And I was exhausted for a month after. Like, just would have to go lay down, like, go have a lie down, because I just couldn't. But I feel like people that have COVID that I know have had the same kind of, like, just exhaustion.
Yeah, and a couple weeks after Jeremy and I got better from COVID, we went to Scotland, which was amazing, but again, was, like, 2 weeks plus of me not doing anything productive.
Right.
But also, yeah, was very tired during that. Like, every time we went hiking, I was like, I think my lungs were affected more by COVID than I thought.
Yep. I'll do it.
Yeah. But then, you know, finally started getting back in the swing of things. Published the anthology, the Christmas anthology, so that's exciting. Wrote another novella. I like novellas, it turns out. I didn't expect that. Cause I like they weren't always my favorite thing to read, but I've been reading more novellas, and so I'm getting more of a taste for them. And I just they're fun to write. Like, I feel like it's less stressful sometimes than writing like a big yeah. long book.
It's nice. People hate them though. I don't know. I feel like
you either love them or you don't. There's not a whole lot. Like, I feel like I'm a pretty yeah. middle ground person.
Someone read Bloody Vows and she was like, I want more, and gave it 3 stars. And I was just like, I don't know how many ways I can say novella, 15,000 words. And it's a pretty self-contained story. Like, it contains itself just fine, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I feel like novellas, people want a novel worth of story in 20,000 words. And I'm just like...
But then they'll complain about it being too rushed.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't fuck with novellas, really. I'm only doing, like, the couple that I'm doing. But, like...
I have my one that's going to be a freebie. And that's a real short guy. My freebie one's only like 13 or so thousand words. It's pretty short, and it's a very insta-lovey kind of situation. And I feel eventually, once I'm done with that being my freebie, I'll throw that up on KU with the other stuff. Because there's definitely a market for people who like short things on KU.
Oh yeah, I threw mine up for a freebie, since I'm wide.
Yeah.
I threw it up as a freebie.
And then... one of my characters in Hungry for Love, I ended up giving him his own happily ever after. But that's it. It's actually, right now, we'll see what it ends up being. But right now, it's a pretty long novella. It's like 30,000 words. Yeah. I was expecting it to be like 20 to 25. And he just kept wanting his own story. And I'm like, God damn it, Derek.
It's really hard when you... I don't know. I sort of have a hard time when I'm like, oh, this is going to be short. And then it's like, well, this could be longer.
Yeah.
I also, with the third book in my trilogy, I wanted to make sure that it wasn't, because it's a little bit shorter than the other two. But I didn't want it to be so short that people were like, oh, they didn't need to have three books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So when I was writing it, I got really scared. But then I remembered how I write. I write short, and then I pump it up into the 80 to 90,000 range. So like it was like at 60, I think the draft was at 65,000 when I finished it, or 68,000 or something. I was like, holy shit, oh no. And so I started doing that, my developmental edits and stuff, and like, and then I was like at like seven, I was at 80,000, and I was like, okay,
there you go.
I forget that I don't cut, so there's edits for me or not cuts. We write exactly the opposite. Yeah. I write the bare bones amount of things I need to have in a chapter to finish it. And then when I go back, I pump things up.
Yeah.
And I also don't write any scenes I don't need. Or I don't write any scenes that I don't want to have there. I guess,
sure.
Because I have scenes that I feel like other people will think I don't need. But I'm like, this scene is staying in the book. I'm sorry. Fucking deal with it. You're going to deal with the friendship. They're having friendship time. They're going to have brunch. You're going to fucking deal with it.
I love that type of stuff, though.
Before I stopped reading reviews, so I don't read them anymore. I stopped, like, right before third book came out, I decided no more reading reviews. Because I just don't care anymore, as part of it. But one of the reviews I got was, there's too many people in this book. She's at brunch with who again? And I was dying. I was on the floor dying. So I was like, you know what? When you read as many romance books as I do, books that have lots of characters are hard for people, because normally romance books have like four characters. And I'm like, you know what? I'm taking this as a compliment that I added enough extra characters, because I'm like, I'm tired of reading heroines that don't have friends or family.
I agree.
They need to have them. It doesn't make sense.
I understand I have a fuck ton of characters in Hungry for Love, but also there's no way I could show a dating competition without a fuck ton of characters.
Right.
But I purposely have, like, the people that get kicked off earliest are the ones I'm like, I'm not developing them. They're going to just, yeah, like, immediately go away. They don't matter. And then I, like,
exactly,
focus exactly on the core group of their friends that they make. Well, we are decently past an hour. We should. Oh, I'm not prepared. Let me.
Oh my god!
Oh, it's been my so god!
Long. I don't remember what we do. We're so out of practice.
Okay. I googled nerdy pickup lines.
Perfect.
Okay. Hey, Stephanie.
Huh?
If you love water, good news, you already love 60% of me.
Wow. That's also like a really great reminder to drink more water. So,
yes, I am out of my sparkling water now. Sorry we disappeared for so long.
Maybe we'll do like a new year, like, what are actually like come up with some goals and top goals.
Yeah, that'd be a good easy January episode. We kind of failed at doing a Christmas episode, but it is what it is.
I couldn't read. I just couldn't do it. Liz was great. She read all the books. It wasn't me. It was Stephanie. For the usual, Liz will take care of every business aspect of Love and Lust and Dick of the Week because I can't.
Yeah, that's it for now.
All right, well, bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you, so contact us at lnlsmutcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at lnlsmutcast. Find episodes of this and other great shows at calamitycast.com or wherever you find your podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Dick of the Week.
This has been a Calamity Cast production. For more content, visit calamitycast.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.